process is greater than result. I get so obsessed with the process that it keeps me going. Because if I'm results focused, I may like lose the motivation. I'm focusing on things that might be out of my control. A year and a half ago, I was getting crazy growth on social media. Present day, I'm not getting nearly the views, nearly the likes, the shares, the comments. If I was so obsessed with the results then, I would have given up now, or vice versa. 7 years ago, when I started the podcast, if I was results focused, I would have gave up after 6 months to a year. There's a reason why you're a top 1% podcast in the world after you make it past 10 episodes.
This is for the others out there, the other ambitious people who want to play at a higher level in their life. It's time to get curious and get real. Join me, and together, let's find the others. Today, I'm excited to bring you a conversation I had with my brother, Bobby Hobert. Bobby is a lifestyle design coach. He's on a mission to help entrepreneurs access work-life harmony by designing their life to align with both their personal and professional priorities. He hosts the It's the Bearded Man podcast, where he dives into topics like scheduling your day, creating boundaries to protect your time, and dialing in your well-being habits. I was featured on that podcast. We had a great conversation, one of my favorites. Click the link in the show notes to check that out. If you're interested in gaining momentum towards your goals within 60 seconds every Monday, sign up for his Stay on Track newsletter. And throughout this conversation, we talked about his entire journey into being a content creator and business owner, how he went from driving Uber to building a successful business career and now taking the entrepreneurial plunge. Give Bobby a follow on Instagram. He's got a great following, amazing content. The link is in the show notes. It's at Bobby with a bunch of B's and a bunch of A's ending in Y. And get all the links from there. Without further ado, please welcome the bearded brother, Bobby Hobert. We got Bobby. Welcome to the podcast, Bobby. What a pleasure to have you here.
Let's go. I'm happy to be here, man. I'm glad you found me. I hope I'm part of the others now that I'm officially on the pod.
Hey, baby. It was something so fitting, man. It's like you are certainly one of the others. And so it's always a pleasure to have one of the others on the Find the Others podcast. And that's just been like, this has been my vehicle of just connecting with other like-minded, amazing humans that are living life intentionally and seeking to thrive and not just exist, but to actually live. And I mean, when you meet someone that just like, I vibe with your energy and we're like-minded, you just have that feeling. And from our first conversation, and we only dropped in a handful of times, but every time just gets better and better. So grateful to have you here. We have found another one of the others, Bobby, my bearded brother. Stoked to have you here.
What's crazy is two things I want to say. One is we've only connected through the internet, which is insane.
Yeah.
We still have not met in person. So the day we do meet in person, it will be like as if I've known you for 100 years.
100%.
But I'm curious to get your take on this immediately, right? Find the others, right? When I hear that now and I just think about it, years ago, I was looking for the others.
Mm.
Now the others has become my reality and I don't know anything that's different. So it's an interesting shift that along that path of like shedding old identity, shedding versions of yourself or community that maybe isn't aligned with you, along that path, your new reality becomes what you wanted it to become, but then it becomes, you don't know anything else. Mm-hmm. So I love the branding of it. I never really thought of it like that until just now of like, at some point the others becomes your norm.
Yeah. And that's the goal, right? For the others to become your norm. For you to be part of a community where your desired behavior is the normal behavior. And that's what it's about. And then when you do that, you're all of a sudden, you're like, oh, wow, I get it. I understand this and why this is so important. So on that note, tell me a little bit more about that process for you from kind of being at a point. When is this? Are we talking like 5 years ago? Are we talking more or less, like being on this kind of point of looking to be kind of being on the outside or seeking, like, I know there's more for me here. I know I want to be in different level conversations or around different types of like-minded people. What was that Bobby like?
That's such a good question. This is such a good, I'm fired up to be here with you today, brother. That moment is 2016. It is May. I'm graduating from Bentley University. And it's a top business school in Boston where literally 99% of my graduating class was enrolling in full-time careers in the finance, investment banking world. And I was the 1%. I was not. I was going to drive Uber full time. And it was that around that time where I started listening to the School Greatness podcast with Lewis Howes. I was auditing the environment, not just of the kids I went to college with, but then I was actually looking at the kids that I wasn't best friends with growing up, but were like the oddballs. They were the others. One was a musician, one was a fashion designer, one was a photographer, and they were all in that pursuit of chasing the passion, chasing what they really wanted to do with life. So I'd say 2016 was when I had to like start looking for the others and start surrounding myself with those people, which inevitably led me to Purpose in the Youth podcast and connect so many dots into where I am and who I am today. But it was just a defining moment where I just recognized I don't want to just do a job to do a job. Like I want to do something that I love. And right now I'm not seeing anything that interests me. So I'm just going to create my own path and go from there.
That's great. And so you started driving Uber at that point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know how long I was going to drive Uber, but it was a side hustle for me in college. Mm-hmm. And at the time I was thinking about starting my own podcast. So I was like, okay, let me start the podcast. I need a way to fund it. I made great money driving Uber in college. I was like, okay, what's a few months of driving Uber going to do? Like, it'll buy me some more time. Well, a few months turned into 3.5 years. So one foot in front of the other, or one ride at a time. I just kept at it, and it took me all the way from Boston and then eventually moved out to LA.
So good. I feel like there's this kind of activation moment that we can look back. And if you're one of the others, you kind of know it's like, yes, I started learning more about this, or then this led to this, kind of the beginning part of that path. You said, listen to podcasts, School of Greatness. Yeah. I know you got big into personal development. What were some of the, was there a certain like shift or a belief or something that you're like, wow, I choose to like this one idea. I can't look at life the same. And I'm different because of this. And I have to create a different life because of this. Was there something that stands out?
Good question. I think there was just this common energy that I was hearing, even just through the audio podcasts, of like, wow, these are people that are doing what they love, right? That was the beauty of what I was loving about podcasts in 2016 and still love to this day, was like, I was dropping in on conversations that I didn't have access to these rooms, but I was hearing authentic conversations from people that I knew and was inspired by. And so when I pulled back the curtain and could hear like who they were and just the passion that they had in themselves, also the passion that I saw in the quote unquote others of the kids that I grew up with. I was just like, man, I want to find that passion. I want to find my purpose, which inevitably led me to launching Purpose in the Youth, because I was obsessed with how are these people in their quote unquote youth, in their late teens, early 20s? I was 23 at the time. How are these people finding their purpose at such a young age? So I was just so intrigued with wanting to find my passion, wanting to find my purpose. And I will say that growing up, my father had always said to me, no matter what you do in life, as long as you love what you do, we will always support you. And that like planted a seed in my mind, such a small statement, but repetitively told over and over again, it gave me the permission that I want to find that passion. I want to find that purpose. But that's definitely what I gravitated to towards the most when I was listening to podcasts back then.
Yeah, that's so good. And also, so you started, when did you start your podcast? Was it around then?
August 31st, 2016 was the first episode.
So like, mind you, this is before it was like easy or cool to start a podcast. Like, you know, I feel like today it's like everybody,
bro. I was the wave.
That's pretty, I mean, that's important context as well. It's like, oh yeah, you hear someone's like, oh, start a podcast. Cool. Everybody has a podcast now. Not everybody, but you know what I mean? It's really easy to start a podcast. But back in 2016, like this is still the very beginning of this as a media form that's really moving across the country. Like nobody was listening to Joe Rogan in 2016, you know? No. So
I didn't think I knew who Joe Rogan was back then, to be honest with you.
Right. So yeah, the only reason I knew Joe Rogan was from MMA stuff, or from him being the host of Fear Factor way back when, watching Fear Factor as a kid. But and that's really striking to me. So one of the things that I've been jamming on recently is this concept of models of possibility, and seeing someone, for example, I had a great podcast conversation with this guy, George, who's in his 80s, late 80s, early 90s, and he's running ultra marathons. And I'm like, wow, like that's possible. Like you can be that old and still have this vibrant, exuberant young energy and be active. Like, amazing. If that's possible for George, why can't that be possible for me? So he became a model of possibility for me in terms of longevity. And so what I'm hearing from you is that listening to podcasts, listening to people like Lewis Howes, other people and the people you're interviewing, it's like, this is a model of possibility. You can actually love what you do and you can be aligned with your passion and your purpose. And you started to seek that out in terms of what is that for me?
Yeah, it's interesting when I look back on that moment, because truly, I think the other thing was, not only was I looking to search what is possible for myself, but at the same time, I was also doing a lot of self-awareness checks within me, because you can see what you're doing, building a business, people outside looking at it like, oh my God, it's so sexy to build Edge Theory Labs. Like, they're just doing all these cool things, but like, people don't really know what it looks like to be in the day-to-day, right? So for me, it was like, I was listening to all those conversations. I didn't know what it looked like to be a Scooter Braun and to be managing top-tier artists, or to be a Gary V and run a 500-plus media agency. But what I kept asking myself was, what are my strengths? People, curiosity, listening. And so to me, it was like, okay, this is no questions asked. Like, not only am I curious, what am I possible? What could I possibly do with myself in my life? But also, I was that self-awareness checklist of, what are my skill sets? Because I'm 6 feet tall. I ain't got the hand skills to be in the NBA, but I also knew that like my height is point guard status and I'm not going to be a point guard in the NBA. I had to be self-aware at some point to recognize where can I play my strengths and where this is not going to work out.
Did you play basketball growing up too? Or is that just,
I played a little bit. I actually don't know why that was the first thing that came to my mind.
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, the analogy makes sense. It checks out. I'm just trying to know if you're still hooping. Cause if so, we got to hoop together.
Yeah. We first got to get in person together.
Then yeah, exactly. That's great. So I want to like kind of, we're hearing this story of you starting to seek this out and learning. And I love that approach of just, let me go start a podcast and like, let me go interview people about that and take what I do know. It's like, I don't know where this all leads, but based on what I do know now, I can take action on that. And I think that's a really great reminder for people. Is like, you don't have to have the full thing figured out. Like, I don't know what my purpose is or what I want to do that I love, but I know that I have these things. So let me put those to practice and see where that leads me.
Yeah. What's interesting is I feel like most people think that we have to have that perfect blueprint. And I know it's been the same story for you with Edge Theory Labs. Like, we think we have to have the perfect blueprint until we go through a process of recognizing that we have to have a vision of where we want to go. But what's more important is we're just showing up on the day-to-day process. So like I said to you 10 minutes ago, I got into driving Uber because I'm like, it's going to be a couple month thing. We'll see what happens. It ends up going 3.5 years. Now, I didn't know that's how things would play out. Did I think it was going to be a lot shorter? Absolutely. Ignorance is bliss. I thought I was going to do it for 2 months, make a shit ton of money, you know, on a via podcast. And this just didn't happen. But I am so obsessed with like spending 1% of my time and energy thinking about the big picture and 99% of like right here, right now. Like, it's January 25th. I woke up this morning. That was the only thing I've been focused on, is what is on today's to-do list. Yes, I'm constantly reassessing, like, where's my energy being put? Where's my time being put? I'm always making course corrections, like, of how these decisions are playing to the bigger picture. But I do not have a picture perfect blueprint. I could tell you today, like, what I think I'm going to do this year and like what I'm going to build out, but check back a month from now and I might have a completely different game plan. And that's also like the fun thing of life, is just like trusting the flow and trusting kind of where you end up.
So good. So good. Yeah. And I think that's something that comes across for me as well, for the way that you show up and what I'm inspired by and how you show up is it's scaling down to these micro habits and winning the day. Truly, you can do that. You can show up. How are you showing up with your energy, with your habits? Like, who are you creating yourself to be? Then truly, I mean, and we jammed about this on the other podcast we were on, but like, then the score takes care of itself. Like, everything else will take care of itself and you'll be led to where you need to go. And clearly you're a case of that as well, because you start focused on that and you're led to where you are now.
Yeah. I don't know where it comes from. Maybe, honestly, I think some of this stuff is so ingrained. I was obsessed with Gary Vee 2016, 2017, 2018. Like, I kid you not, if I didn't consume his content then, I don't know if I would have had the energy or like passion to fall through with just like the hurdles and like not seeing results. It was truly Gary Vee that put in my mind, like, just go, like, keep your head down, do the work for 3 years, see what happens. But something along the lines of just always hearing him like fall in love with the journey, trust the journey, the journey, the journey. I think that was one of my first YouTube series in 2017. I started a vlog and it was called like The Journey. And every week I would do like a recap on what the week was like, right? And ever since then, I've just been training myself to get obsessed with the day-to-day actions and decisions, right? Like looking at this week on Monday, I was pumped knowing we had this podcast, but I was also pumped looking at every other thing that I had because I try to look at everything from an equal level playing field. Like this has just as much value to me as me grabbing dinner with two of my friends tonight. And it has just as much value me going to the gym tomorrow morning, right? So it's constantly getting obsessed with just like what's in my control today. And like, I mean, this sounds kind of like, you know, mental, like reset almost, but like if today's my last day, how am I actually going to live it? And I think that has allowed me to stay so damn consistent and focus on the micros, micro habits, micro decisions, micro, mindsets, because I just continuously, and I think this also goes off of meditation, I just continuously try to bring myself back to the present moment. What's within my soul being here right now with you on this podcast and not thinking about anything else.
Beautiful. One thing I would like to ask, because you just mentioned the journey and I similarly is something I'm focused on constantly. I always like to ask other high performers. I would say high performing hippies. I own that domain, highperforminghippies.com. I'll do something with it one day. Cause like I view myself as just, I'm just a high performing hippie. You're a high performing hippie. It's kind of another name 100%. Of the others, right? 100%. You're someone that's like, you know, that's focused on being present and fulfillment and living today as if it's my last, but also like you're a grinder, like you're going to put your head down and grind and you're a high achiever and you're focused on outcome, process and outcome. It's kind of this, the two wings of an airplane, if you will. But how do you view this? I'm genuinely curious, like how do you view the journey versus the destination, achievement versus fulfillment and balancing those things? Like, how do you think about that or look at that?
Oh, that's a good question, man. I mean, we want to reach goals, right? Like there's just certain things that, you know, one target of mine right now, present day, is like onboarding 5 new clients. That's important to me. I want to hit that. I need to hit that for reasons now that I'm full-time on myself, right? So like, yes, that is important. Do I want to see, you know, $100,000 per month on my podcast as a goal? Yes, that is important. But I am so focused on process rather than results. So a big thing I've been like saying for the last year or 2 years when I kind of thought it through on it is like process is greater than result. And what that allows me to do is, once again, going back to the micro habits, the day-to-day, just showing up, I get so obsessed with the process that it keeps me going. Because if I'm results focused, I may like lose the motivation. I'm focusing on things that might be out of my control. A year and a half ago, I was getting crazy growth on social media. Present day, I'm not getting nearly the views, nearly the likes, the shares, the comments. If I was so obsessed with the results then, I would have given up now. Or vice versa, 7 years ago when I started the podcast, if I was results focused, I would have gave up after 6 months to a year. There's a reason why you're a top 1% podcast in the world after you make it past 10 episodes. There's a reason for that, because people give up because they want to see the results. So for me, it's like, yes, the results are important, but they're not the main thing. They're not the only thing. They're just another little checkbox of like, you're doing the right things. As you said on our podcast, it's a little wink from the universe. Like, hey, good job, Bob. You're doing it. Like, keep going. But it doesn't define me. It's not like the thing. So you give me $1 million, $10 million, $100 million today, I'm still going to wake up and do the same things tomorrow because it's what I really want to do. And it's because not for the result. If I was doing it for the result of making money and you gave me $100 million and I stopped doing it, well, then it's very clear. This isn't actually something that I'm truly passionate about. I'm just doing it with that gold mind in mind. But for me, I love the day-to-day of it. I get obsessed with it. And there's those moments where you like have those self-limiting beliefs and doubts about what you're capable of or what you can accomplish, but you still just push through them.
So good. I love that, man. That's really great. So just relentless, what I'm hearing is just
focus
and mastery of the process, and just focus on planting the seeds. There's a great quote that comes to mind judge your success of the day, not based on the harvest that you reap, but the seeds that you sow. Like, what seeds are you planting? Like, how can you view success today is look at all the seeds I planted and the work that I did that was in my control and that I showed up for, not what harvest did I reap, because the harvest is going to come when it comes.
Man, it's crazy the time in this. I had a call with a buddy of mine 2 hours ago, and he was communicating how he's also in a place where he's like planting a lot of seeds and he's waiting for things to come to fruition. And respectfully, you just communicating like just hitting a wall. And I'm like, dude, you have to recognize all these seeds, all these calls you just had. Like, people would kill to get on some of these calls, like with these individuals, with these top podcasts in the world that you're speaking to on a casual basis. It was a good reframe for him. But once again, it was that reminder that like all we're doing every day is just planting seeds. Some take a couple months, some take a couple years, but through that continuous that process of being patient, watering the seed, nurturing it, letting it naturally grow, the best things will come from it as long as you don't force it to happen.
You got to have faith in the seed. You got to have faith in the seed. Like the same way, literally, we have faith when we plant an actual seed that's going to turn into vegetables or fruit for us. Like, you have to have faith that there's this orchestration that's happening out of our control that's going to turn that seed into something that you can consume or eat, or like in the very pure form of life force. Like, you trust that the fetus gets developed and that the seed is planted, you know, and the seed sows. It takes time. 9 months takes time for life to form. So it's having faith in the seed and that these powers outside of our control are nurturing those seeds. And we just need to do what we can to give it the sunlight, to give it the water, to give it the encouragement and to give it the trust, and not have to try to control that, because that's out of our domain.
Yeah. You had to have that same exact mindset with Ed Sheary Labs. Otherwise it never would have came to fruition. You would have given up at the roadblock. You would have given up at the first hurdle. You would have given up at the first pushback. You trusted that the seed that you were planting were going to pay out with time.
Exactly. And I think there's another nuance level to bring to it, which ties back to another question I wanted to ask you, which is, not only did I have to have that faith and that trust that those seeds would come, but also if I didn't really believe that I'm looking at my tub over here on my balcony. If I didn't really believe that this tub here and the cold water immersion had the power to heal like it healed me, and knew that so many people could heal themselves through the power of this medicine that is the cold, then I would have given up long ago. You know, the first sight of the challenge, if I was just doing this for the business and for the money, like there's 0.0 chance I'd still be doing this, because there's some real hurdles. There's some real challenges, but having that deeper path of service and knowing that I need to get this out to more people keeps me going, allows me to carve through those challenges like a hot knife through butter. It's just like, you do what you got to do. So having that alignment and that desire of bringing something to service is essential. So that's a purpose for me. And what I want to ask you is what have you discovered? I mean, you're at a point now where you have, and we'll get back to your, you know, the storyline that we're following over here, but you know, you're at a point now where you're full time in your own business, and you're someone that is in the greater service, the service of greater good for others. What is that? And what clarity do you have in that? What clarity do you have at this point on what your purpose is?
So it sounds selfish, but through being quote unquote selfish, it actually does help people, I believe. Amen. Which is constantly, like, from a creator standpoint, creating content or creating courses or ideating on things that I wish I had for the younger version of myself. So everything that I do today is a direct correlation back to who I was 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. So whether that's solo podcast topics, whether that's like the daily content I put out, like I just keep serving that younger version of me, because I know that there are millions of other people that are in that same shoes of either feeling like they don't have permission to do the thing that they wanted, such as when I graduated college, or they're clear on who they want to become, but they don't know how to create boundaries and cut out the things that aren't serving them anymore. Or, you know, they used to be one person and now they're ready to hit the reset button. Well, here's the permission to go do that. So I've kind of toyed with the messaging over the last like year and a half, 2 years, and more recently, like as of 2 weeks ago, even defined it even more, which is like, I'm trying to help people define, like, design their life from every angle, like personal, professional. Like, how do you,
So
a
good.
good thing for people to do is, like, if tomorrow you woke up and it was the dream day, what would your day look like? How would you spend your time? People can write it down. They can, give you a minute by minute play of what that day would look like. Then my challenge for them is, how do we make that your every day? Because I think we oftentimes think that it can't be. That can't be a reality, but it can be if you start making conscious effort choices to create that as your reality. So that's like the mission I'm on now is like, and it's so funny when I say that out loud because there's been all these chapters. There was chapter one of me just trying to find my purpose and passion. Chapter two was like trying to become the best version of me. This is kind of like chapter 3, 3.5, which is taking everything that I've learned and now giving it back to people of like, hey, this is how I've cut out alcohol for 500 plus days. Hey, this is how I've allowed myself to create a different identity 8 different times in my 20s. Hey, this is like the best lessons I've learned in how to build a relationship when I was single for a decade, right? So much of what I'm doing now is just to continue to serve that younger version of me and just want to see people live a life by their own design. Like, I know you're living it. I know mutual friends of ours are others, the others that are now our current, like, these are all people that are living life by their own terms, which is truly like a dream come true. So now to bring it back to even just the beginning part of that question, like, now to be fully in control of my time, my energy, it feels like freedom. Nothing on my calendar that is something I don't want to do. And if it no longer feels like something I want to do, I just get rid of it. Hey, gotta pass. Hey, we gotta hold off. I'll share this with you. One recent shift I've had even since our podcast is I recently decided, you know what? We're pausing on all guest pods. All I want to focus on is solo pods and coaching episodes. I want to give as
Cool.
much value as I can to the community that is supporting me. And I want to do that through solo apps, sharing my knowledge, and also through bringing them on my show and coaching them for 30 minutes. Once again, that's like, okay,
Super cool.
cool. Next, we had 7 episodes lined up in the next 2 months. Cancel them all. All good. Let's just switch things up. No disrespect to the guests. It was just like all back to that true north of what feels right. So just to be back in control of my time is just, man, it's just, it's a very, very beautiful feeling. Because I'm not sitting around and twiddling my thumbs. It's just ever since I woke up this morning, it's 5 p.m. now, 9 to 5, literally the full day has just been dialed into a T, and I just feel so much gratitude to have a day
So
like
good, so good, so good, brother. And also selfishly very stoked that I snuck right in there at the end of your guest episodes
that.
because that conversation was
You
awesome.
set the bar so high, I was like, yo,
Yeah, there you go.
we're gonna ease our way out. We can't
Also,
replicate this
I think my
anymore.
episode was 222. It was
There you go.
episode
Yeah.
222. I was like, oh, that checks
That's a
out.
good
And then there was
number.
some synchronicity around, the timing of that coming out right as you made the transition to go full time. So yeah, and I think
Yeah.
one of the things that's striking to me is like you said, is that again, it's possible to be designing your life the way that you want. It takes effort and it takes strategy and it takes the right guidance, which is brilliant that you're able to, you're a systems guy and you're able to provide those systems and that guidance towards people. But it's possible. And to me, what makes someone one of the others is anybody that's in pursuit of that. It's like you don't have to be there. You have to want to be working. You have to be w wanting to be there, and you have to be working towards being there because it's a continual process. And there's always, but it's that mindset of like, oh, I want to grab life by the horns. I want to grab the reins, grab the steering wheel, and drive. And my destination might be still far away, but I'm going there. And that's like when someone has that mindset, then it's like an instant connection and an instant. It's just like a different language that you start to be able to speak.
The timing of us doing this podcast could not have been better because truly, I have been on this quest to design my life for the last 8 years. That the first question you asked, which was like, when did this all kind of like, when did you start having that lens on to find the others, was in 2016 when I graduated college, started the podcast, started driving Uber. And then since then, I did that for 3.5 years. Then I went on to work full time at Liquid IV for 4 years. And as of January 15th, less than literally 10 days ago
10
from right
days
now,
ago.
I am full on my own, which is literally what I've been working towards for the last 8 years. So,
So
like,
cool.
this is the product of designing your own life. Like, it has been a constant mental game and challenge of small daily decisions that have added up over time. But like, you're seeing and hearing it in real time. Like, the product of all of those decision making over the last 8 years.
Yeah, and that's so important to highlight. And I want to ask you more about your process and decision around that, because it's easy for anyone tomorrow to be like, I'm going to quit my job and start a business and I'm now have time freedom and control. And I'm sure you've seen this with clients. I've seen this in the past as well. Like that fades out very quickly. It feels amazing at first. You're like, I've got time freedom. And then it's like, shit, what do? How do I pay rent? Right. And then it can be even more stressful. So, like you're saying 8 years in the making, this is the product of 8 years in the making to get to this point. Like, tell me a little bit about, is it 4 years at Liquid IV, right? And what was your role there? Were you doing partnerships? What was your role there?
That's a good question. I got hired as a content producer, and then The pandemic hit. Then I was audio partnerships for about 2.5 years, and then for the last year I was all like pretty much partnerships such as like affiliate, audio partnerships, and like coupon and loyalty. So gotcha. It evolved a little bit higher up to more partnerships.
Makes sense. And then you made the decision, you built, as we talked about on our podcast episode on your show, of like building that bridge. Like you built a bridge to the point where it's like, cool, I can now take the step. Tell me a little bit, like, I'm just curious, like, what was that process like for you individually?
Yeah, it feels so freeing that I can talk about this stuff now, man, because there's been so much. I haven't really been able to publicly share because I was working full time for Liquid IV, which I have the most gratitude for. I'll never forget, in March of 2021, there's an, no, excuse me. I think it was October or December. It was sometime in end of 2020 where we got acquired in October 2020. And then Brandon Cohen, our founder, made an announcement that he was going to be formally stepping down. He was the reason I got the job. I had met him through podcasting. So the moment, truly, I never said this publicly because I didn't want to like say it. So I was working full time. The moment he left, like my heart left. It was like, I was there for it. He was selling rocks on the side of the road. I would have done that. It wasn't Liquid IV that sold me, it was him. So when he left, I was like, okay, like I'm ready for the next step now. Little did I know, same ignorance is bliss as Uber. I then spent the next 3 years working there because I was still refining myself as a creator. I wasn't coaching. I had a lot more research to do on myself. But over the next 3 years, I honestly was just building like the bridge. Like you said, like I was seeing a lot of growth on short form social media content. I started doing brand partnerships. I went the first 6 to 7 years, I don't think I made more than $1,000 as a creator. And then I think in 2022, like probably near 50 grand. So I went from like 1,000 to then 50K. 1,000 in 7 years to then 50,000 in 1 year, which was coaching and brand partnerships. And I was like, wait a second. Okay, we're onto something. And honestly, it was like last year was similar, like a lot of a good amount of growth, wasn't anything like through the roof. But truly, it was February of 2023 last year, I got more responsibility at the company. And my time started to go way up for company time and down for my personal time. All of last year, I just could feel more resentment of like, Bobby, putting yourself in this position. Bobby, this is on you. Bobby, you need to figure it out. Bobby, let's like figure out the next step. More responsibility came in October, and I just really grew resentment. And it was just kind of like this thing that had been melting in my mind for a while. And luckily I had the support of my partner, Kay, who I live with. And it just finally hit me where I was just like, I remember we were in Costa Rica in November for 8 days. And I felt like every day I was just thinking about like not wanting to be there and not wanting to work. It wasn't the company, it wasn't the team. It just was like, I wasn't passionate in the work. So not even a week later after we got back from the trip, I just was like, this is it. I need to trust. I need to give myself the space and time to figure it out. And I was like, I truly believe that if I put myself out there to the world, to the universe, if I signal to the universe, I am ready. There's no other option. I'm burning the boats and I'm figuring this out. I knew that I would find a way. And that was the deciding factor of like, I need to create the space to figure this out. And if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm either going to lose the momentum or I'm just going to have so much resentment for the work that I'm doing.
Beautiful. I'm curious, when you made that decision, did you feel like an energetic shift already, even while still working? Like what did you notice or what did you feel as a result of like making that decision even before you left?
Honestly, like it was on my mind that I wanted to do this in less than 24 hours, I got on a call with my manager to say I'm out. It was a very interesting scenario where I wanted to leave in the best, I wanted to leave them in a great position. So sure. I notified them at the end of November and I said, if it works for y'all, I would love to end Jan 1. It'll give me 5 weeks to offboard, get you guys dialed in for Q1. You guys will be in a good spot. They were already stretched for bandwidth. So I tried to set them up for success. And then long story short, we ended up negotiating to January 15th just to make sure that through the new year, everything went well. And yeah, it felt freeing also knowing like, okay, now there's an endpoint. We know the last day is coming.
Yeah.
It was reminding myself every day, like how you do one thing is how you do everything. So let's finish this with our head held high. To the best of our ability, let's finish this strong. And so that's what I was able to do. But it was also like, there were moments where I'm like, damn, should I have given 6 weeks? Should I have like just done the 2 week out? But I'm happy that I ended the way that I did because I left the team in the best position possible where I couldn't have done anything else to set them up for more for success, which made me feel good.
That's great. That's great. And I want to just emphasize you said it casually because, you know, it's your story. You probably said it a lot of times already, but just want to emphasize, like you said, as a creator, you did $1,000 over the course of 7 years. And then in that eighth year, 50K, right?
Yeah.
like just pause for a second to let that one land, because that tells me everything that I need to know and should to the listeners as well of, and the difference between, you see people who make it, it's like, what is it? You were worked 8 years to become an overnight success, right? Like I remember being blown away and seeing like, as you started, I think when it was during that time period, but like you started sending some videos viral, you started, you know, your follower count jumped up and I was like, let's go, Bobby. But I knew from our initial conversation, I'm like, yeah, he's been grinding on this for a while. And it's good to see the seeds blossom, right? You're seeing it blossom, but we see that so often of seeing it blossom and people want to be like, oh, I want to go create like what Bobby has, or I want to go make an income as a creator. And they go and try it. And because it doesn't happen within not even a year, but within 6 months, oh, this is not for me, or it's not working. And they go on, but $1,000 for 7 years. And then that eighth year, $50,000, like, holy moly, well done to making it through. It's just like, what? It's just on the other side. It's like you kept consistent. And I just want to emphasize that, especially for the listeners, because that's how it happens. That's how it has to be. There's no exception to that.
Yeah. What would actually give another frame, which I'll do some time. I'll take some time and try to do the numbers for the next time I'm on a podcast or I have more references. The amount of money that I invested in those 7 years, a lot of money invested in like equipment and ideas and studio times or whatever. Right. So like in reality, like I think I quote unquote, might have made 1,000. It was probably less. That's me being very like, But like I was in the red, brother, like very deep in the red. So yeah, it's also what I want to say is like, on top of the overnight success, it's unbelievable how your decisions in real time, you don't know how they're going to connect in the future. In the time that I got into TikTok and saw that hyper growth, it was taking everything that I had learned over the last 7 years and setting me up for that moment, because the concept that I had figured out, which was voiceovers with B-roll, I had nailed voiceovers from podcasting for 7 years. I knew how to write a script, right? And then I was also creating vlogs for shits and gigs here and there. So I knew how to capture B-roll. So it was like this moment where I could combine both of those skills onto this new platform, and then boom, it skyrocketed. So you just have these real-time decisions, like you even with like
plus
creating this podcast while you're building your business, like this is going to set you up for success so that in 3 years from now, or even when you guys had the retreat for Edge Theory Lab recently, like you know how to host, you know how to like lead.
Right.
It's just crazy how the dots always connect somehow in the future, but you don't know how until you look back on them.
Exactly. It's so true. And that's something that I found is consistent with anybody who has achieved at a high level. It's always oh yeah, like what happened in the past prepared me perfectly for this moment of these things converging. So like, you don't know when that opportunity is going to come. I didn't know it was going to come with Edge Theory Labs. I knew that I was, but it prepared me for my past business experience of running a team and an organization and business and selling and having years in sales to the passion and the skillful facilitation and becoming instructor, et cetera, yoga instructor, how that all prepared me to just be like, at the right timing when the opportunity came. So, you know, what is it? Luck is the meeting of preparation and opportunity. So even if you don't like, and you couldn't plan that the same way you couldn't plan, oh, I know that one day this content style on TikTok is going to go viral and it's going to set me up for success. So you can't see that bigger vision, which is why, coming back to kind of the theme of this conversation for me, I'm taking away is it's about just how you're showing up on the daily basis and those micro habits and course correcting as you need, but trusting that it's going to lead you and your eyes are going to be open for when that opportunity does come. So if you're in the muck right now or you can't see it, trust, you got to trust that it is preparing you for the next thing, that next opportunity. And you can't see it now, but the dots are going to connect when you look backwards.
Can I add to that too? The muck only adds to the story. I was driving Uber full time. Truly, I had a lot of shame because I was like, I'm the Uber driver. I have no value. Like I see other people that are doing things. They're impacting people. I'm just the Uber driver. Like, I was in my head a lot, but looking back on it now, I have so much gratitude that that was part of my story, because there's so many other people that now can relate to my story as they work at McDonald's, they're working a 9-to-5 they hate, or whatever it is. Right? So it's like your muck ends up being one of the strongest pieces of your story. Of course, people want to see you win and succeed, but and I know you commented on it, but like when I posted that announcement video. What I would love seeing was so many people in the comments were people that I had been seeing since day one from the Uber days. So it was like so heartwarming for me to see like, wow, these people have been with me through this journey and they know it. They're not like, oh, Bobby's like building his business. Like, this is cool. It's like, no, they were along for the journey over the last 6 years, 7 years. Yeah. So your muck is one of the strongest pieces of your story, even when you're in it and going through it and don't want it.
Amen, brother. You're another way that I've heard that said in the past is your mess becomes your message. There's probably another good thing we come up with the word muck there, because I love that word muck.
You got quotes for days, brother. I'll give it to you.
It's similar to you, bro. It's like, you know, you listen to these podcasts, you steep yourself in this, you read these books, and then you're able to draw on other people's experience and wisdom, and it just comes through in fun moments. But brother, this is freaking awesome. I think that's a great note to bring this home and wrap this conversation up on. Until I get out to you or you come back to SoCal and we can sit down in person and really rip a deeper convo and go down the rabbit hole for a couple hours and just let it rip. But in the meantime, brother, I just want to thank you so much. Thank you for this, for sharing your wisdom, your heart, your passion. And I'm just so excited for this new chapter for you. It's like unleashed. And I just can't wait to see. And so grateful to have this as a moment now of you stepping into this 10 days fresh into this new chapter. I just know I'll bet my mortgage on you succeeding in everything. You know what I'm saying? Like I know for a fact, I'm very excited because we're gonna be able to look back at this whenever the next podcast we do and be like, oh yeah, look at all the seeds you've planted and also the harvests that you've reaped since that conversation. So brother, thank you.
Man, love is so mutual. Thank you for creating the space. Thank you for being who you are, because you know, one of the biggest shifts for me moving out to Austin was like, am I letting go of all these friendships and people that I've built, you know, spent years trying to build relationships with? And honestly, if anything, it showed me through the process of moving, like what were the genuine, real friendships and what were not. And even for someone like yourself, who I've never even connected with in person, just the dots, and or not the dots, but like the times that we have touch points are just so fulfilling and high vibrancy of energy. Like, it's just so appreciated, man. So keep being you, keep building a great business. And man, I'm rooting for you, and I can't wait to see the growth as well.
Thanks, brother. Bobby, a pleasure. Until next time. Thank you.
Yeah, baby. Man. Adios. Peace.